Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. Now we will preview the debate that I'll be moderating tonight at NYU on the proper role of government. The debaters will join us in just a minute, Miles Rappaport from Demos and Yaron Brook from the Ayn Rand Institute. It's the first in a three-debate series called First Principles about the philosophical roots of the American left and right. Debate number two, by the way, next month will be about our different views of what freedom means, and debate number three in May is on the morality of capitalism. But tonight at 6, we kick it off with a debate on the proper role of government. Now, this event is free, and you are all welcome. You can RSVP right now on our politics website. It's freecountry.org and reserve a seat. Or you can just walk up tonight and get in. I do expect there will be seats available. It's at the Skirball Center Theater at NYU, 556 LaGuardia Place at Washington Square South. So it's right near the West 4th Street subway station. And in advance of the event, we'll have a 20-question role of government poll, or we do have one. We've had one up for about a week now, a 20-question role of government poll that you can take on our site. We'll talk about the results at the event tonight, too. So take the poll at itsafreecountry.org. With me now are the president of the liberal think tank Demos, Miles Rappaport, and the president of the Ayn Rand Institute, which we will ideologically characterize in just a minute, Yaron Brook. Hi, Miles. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. Glad to be here.
And hi, Yaron. Welcome.
Thanks for having me on.
So, Yaron, first, Ayn Rand was, for anybody who doesn't know, the market-oriented author of Atlas Shrugged and other books and articles. But you don't call yourselves conservative. You use the label, which many people do not know, objectivist. What's objectivist and what's the difference?
Well, the difference is that, objectivism is a different and new, philosophical framework for thinking about some of these issues. Conservative in America, means somewhat free markets, but also about socially conservative, what we call socially conservative values, which we are definitely not for. We're much more radical in economics, and I would label us much more liberal on the social issues. In a sense, this is a philosophical foundation for what once was called the classical liberal position.
Libertarian, more or less?
Libertarian, we don't particularly like the libertarian label just because it's such a big tent, and we're not anarchists, which many of the libertarians are. So, yes, but in our politics, more libertarian-like.
All right. And Miles, I don't know if you need to locate yourself or Demos for us on the political or philosophical spectrum, but since Yaron just did, do you want to?
Yeah, I would say that Demos is a kind of a liberal and progressive policy center. We believe in an economy where the prosperity that the economic growth generates is as widely shared as possible. We believe in a democracy where there's the maximum possible participation both in voting and in civic engagement generally. And we believe that in order to achieve those goals, we need a robust government with the capacity and the support from people to do its job.
So, Miles, there's a little tease for tonight right there, right? Because you just articulated some of your first principles, I think.
Yes, I did.
And Yaron, you want to give us a little preview? Where are you going to start?
Sure. I mean, I'm going to start with the idea that the role of government should be limited to really one function and one function only, and that is the protection of individual rights. And by rights, what I mean are individual freedoms, freedom to live your life the way you choose to live it, not the way your neighbor decides you should, not the way the majority decides. In that sense, if democracy means majority rule, then we would be anti-majority rule. We don't believe that 51% of the population has the right to tell me what to do with my property or to tell me what I can say and cannot say. And the role of government is really to protect us from crooks, from criminals, from fraudsters, and other than that, leave us free to pursue our life, liberty, and happiness.
Now, listeners, we want to invite you in on this for this conversation, and we will take questions and comments from the audience tonight at the Skirbo Center as well. But, you know, on a very wide open easel, if you were to start with your first principles of politics or of organization of society through politics, where would you start? Call us with your first principles, folks. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or you can post it to our politics website. It's itsafreecountry.org. And by the way, we will have video of the event up at It's a Free Country tonight. But we, of course, look forward to seeing a lot of you out in the audience as well at the Skirbo Center at NYU at 6 o'clock. 212-433-WNYC. Start anywhere. Where would you start with your own first principles of government or first principles of organization of society through politics? Oh, and guess what, guys? How long did it take? 8 seconds? Our lines are full. So people want to talk about this. Miles, do you want to riff on the individual rights that Yaron was getting at? He said the sole, primary and perhaps sole role of government would be to protect individual rights. A 51% majority shouldn't tell anybody what to do with their property. And certainly our Constitution is, you know, a balance of giving some power to a majority in a democracy and some power of protecting individual rights.
Well, I think actually there would be some areas of agreement between Yaron and myself on, you know, kind of allowing people the maximum freedom to fulfill their potential. But I think we would sort of expand in a way, have a more affirmative definition of what that freedom and what the pursuit of happiness entails, and maybe a larger understanding of where coercion is applied to people to prevent them from doing that. So, you know, if a company is polluting the water supply behind its factory because it's cheaper for them to do that than to dispose of the hazardous wastes safely, I would call that a coercive act, and we need a government that will protect people from that. So I think we need a robust role for government to both allow people to protect people from the kinds of things that that are problematical and in an affirmative way to allow them to pursue happiness and achieve a decent life.
Let's take a caller. Here is Osha in Somerset, New Jersey. Osha, you're on WNYC, and you know you have the same...
Hello.
Did I say your name right?
Asha.
Asha. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi. I feel that government does have a role in what people should be doing. I mean, because I think if you look at the past couple of years, a laissez-faire system doesn't really work. Letting people, you know, be trusted to do the right thing may not always work. And there are some amount of regulation is necessary, especially for corporate America, as we can see from the debacle for the last few years.
Yaron, you want to respond to her?
Well, I mean, I take the exact opposite conclusion from what's happened over the last 3 years. I believe very strongly, and have written and spoken about this extensively, that this financial crisis was directly caused by overregulation, by overreach of government, by the Federal Reserve doing a poor job, which I think it's inherently going to do by its very nature. And by banking and housing regulations and housing policies. Now, I don't think we have the time to go into the details here, but I think this is exactly what happens when government intervenes in the economy. You get these kind of crises, and it's unfortunate and sad and I think also ignorant that we blame these crises instinctually on business. You know, the Great Depression is still being blamed to this day on speculation on Wall Street and high schools, yet almost no economist believes that 60, 70 years later. You know, it's well understood that the Great Depression was caused by bad Federal Reserve policy and then a whole series of errors, both by the Hoover and the FDR administration following that. Mm. It was the logic center government caused problem and a government caused exacerbated problem.
So I wonder, Miles, if the big distinctions between you may not turn out to be first principles. You both want, you know, a society full of happy people, a government that regulates only as much as it has to, strong individual rights, but a debate over what actually has been effective or not.
to some degree, that's certainly true. I mean, we have to locate our arguments both in philosophical principles, but also in the real world and what's been happening. And I would disagree with your own that, you know, for the last 20 or 30 years, and I would agree with Asha, you know, the corporations have lobbied extensively, heavily, for more deregulation, more let the free market take its place. They were successful in the financial arena. There were more and more unregulated entities like hedge funds and mortgage brokers, and the result of that was disastrous, not because of government intervention, but because these companies saw ways of making a quick buck off of people, and they did it, and the consequences almost drove our society onto off the rails.
No, I don't want to keep going.
Can I go back to first principles?
Yes.
Because I think there is a fundamental disagreement on first principles, and I think the problem is that I think Miles used a what I would consider a bad example before. An example, we would agree. I mean, if somebody pollutes my property, then that's a property right issue. It's an individual rights issue. But let's take a different example. Let's take something like minimum wage or government involvement in health care or, you know, a million other things where we're going to disagree pretty significantly, where there's no coercion, there's absolutely no coercion, and that, you know, somebody getting a minimum wage or somebody getting Medicare or somebody getting stuff from the government, whatever that happens to be, comes at somebody else's expense. Somebody has to pay for it, and that expense is coerced. And, it you know, so I believe that government has no right to coerce its people to do things they don't want.
So let me just ask you, Your Honor, and I don't want to continue on this too much. We're going to do more of this tonight at the event. But if somebody has a right not to have their private property polluted by another person, or let's say the common air polluted by another person, does it not take government regulation to do that, or would it be fear of lawsuits, or what would be the deterrent?
Well, I think that we know, for example, that you can't dump your garbage in my backyard. We don't need special regulations, special laws to do that. That's been part of common law forever. Protecting one's property is a given in the law. You don't need massive new regulatory agencies to control pollution. If you define private property rights correctly, which I think we've neglected to do in this country because we've socialized the costs.
Let me take a caller, Adam in Long Valley, who I think is going to go to a fundamental disagreement with Yaron on a first principle. Adam, you there?
Hi, Brian. Thanks. Yeah, I do have a fundamental first principle disagreement about private property. On an evolutionary scale, human beings evolved in community, with community property, and only in an extremely short amount of a slice of modern time has this idea of property come into play, and private property especially. And it is what it seems to me is a postmodern excuse for those with power to steal what is actually common property. There is no original deed that has anyone's particular name on it. So all of the deeds that exist right now are a direct result of either the theft or brutal subjugation of people who ostensibly were developing on that property and things on that property.
So, Adam, for you,
for their common use,
for you as a first principle of organizing society, would you abolish the entire concept of private property? And if so, wouldn't that take a tremendous amount of coercion on the part of the government to enforce?
Not necessarily, because an active participatory democracy, while it takes a ton of work and a ton of debate, is a tool that we can leverage to deal with the fact that the necessities of change and everything from population to innovation and technology and intellectual property and those sort of things are in play now. But I think reverting to sort of more brutal expedient excuses is
right.
Not a way to deal with it.
Who would own the property in your system? The government?
I think that the government, if it is of the people and by the people, would be its function would be to help build a forum to facilitate authority that has been developed through consensus, through debate, through the collective group of people understanding and coming together as a combination of majorities and minorities.
Adam, I'm gonna leave it there. We get your points. Thank you very much. And I don't want to dwell on this, but Miles, you probably wouldn't agree with him either.
No, I think if you take any kind of philosophical principle to its absolute extreme, you go into the realm of absurdity. I think that what we certainly believe is that capitalism and the free market has extraordinary contributions and energy and contribution to make, but it needs to be effectively managed. There need to be good rules of the road. There needs to be ways of mitigating some of the negative consequences of unfettered capitalism, and making a kind of a managed system where people and the well-being of people, and both in individual and in communities, come first. That's sensible. So the issue is getting the balance right.
Right. Let me get one more caller in here, Ron in Greenwich, on a first principle pertaining to liberty. Ron, thanks for calling.
Thank you. I think both of your speakers have underplayed or have not noticed that there's another aspect to liberty, and that is the liberty of the majority to choose what are the goods they want to pursue. It's not as though all liberty is individual liberty. There's things we can't ever accomplish alone, and so that's why governments are created, not only to protect individual rights, but also to accomplish collective goods. That's what governments are for. And so some of those collective goods, I don't think either of your speakers would disagree with, but now that they exist, everybody can embrace them. In the process of getting there, whether it was railroads or highways or public schools, there was some significant debate. It happens that now the areas are environmental regulation, healthcare reform, and other areas which today seem contentious, but I believe in the future won't be, because there's simply no way for the society to organize otherwise. And I want to just add one more thing, and to propose that individual liberties are the only kind of liberty that matter is, in a sense, to give a veto to the minority on what the majority can ever accomplish. If the majority chooses to build a highway system, but the minority says, no, that's wrong, because that'll restrict my individual property rights, I should always have the right to veto that. If the minority has that right, they have encumbered the freedom of the majority.
Ron, I'm going to leave it there. We got your point. Let me get one more in here. Here's Gabi in Muncie. Gabi, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. Good morning, Brian, and your listeners. I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I have a couple first principles. I worked for Greenpeace in the 80s, and I'm interested in social issues. But my feeling is that the problems that we have, require radical restructuring of the entire system. Whereas, in terms of voting on issues, I believe the majority works. However, one idea I'll just put out, because I don't have much time, is that some of the votes could be anonymous, as they are in juries, so less tampering would be involved. And I don't want to argue about whether we should, if we're going to do things in common, I do think that we should vote on them and have a majority. If we're not going to do anything in common, then your commentator would be right, then we wouldn't have to have any consensus on anything. So I'll just leave it at that
for now.
All right.
Thank you for your call. Well, we will pretty much leave it at that. But I think it's going to be a fascinating event tonight at the NYU Skirball Center. I think we may, I know we're going to go much deeper on some of the things that we just touched on tonight, on first principles, and we will drive down, I think, into things we didn't have time to get into here. What kind of society do we want to have that these first principles spring from, and some other things like that, which is more important, the democracy or the individual, and questions like that. So we look forward to the event tonight with the president of the liberal think tank, Demos, Miles Rapaport, and the president of the Ayn Rand Institute, Yaron Brook, again at 6 o'clock tonight at the Skirball Center Theater at NYU. I'll be moderating 566 LaGuardia Place at Washington Square South, right near the West 4th Street subway station. Tickets are free, but we ask that you RSVP to our politics website. It's afreecountry.org, although if you don't get that done in time, you can walk up tonight. I don't think it's going to be entirely full. So come on out to NYU tonight at 6 o'clock. And in advance of that, you can take our 20-question poll on the proper role of government on our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. Yaron, see you there.
Yes, looking forward to it.
Miles, see you there.
Great, see you then.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come.